Hello, my name is Simon. Welcome to Why Is That? A free speech platform where we explore big ideas and the controversies of our time. Hello, beloveds, and welcome back to another episode of Why Is That? Many of the public are beginning to think that the media are amoral sociopaths. Why is that? Because they kind of are, showing all the traits of what cluster B personality disorder, such as sociopathy, also known as sociopathy, narcissism, and all those things you really don't want in people you're dealing with, or having huge platforms that influence government or the media. But guess what? These are the fields these people are attracted to. Recently, we've had a number of things going on, I'll say, on the alternative media. If you say something like, on YouTube, a lot of people are like, ugh, even though alternative media is becoming huge, what we know as the mainstream media is collapsing. And part of that is they've just completely abandoned journalistic ethics. A lot of journalists are basically leftist activists and are quite dangerous people. It's becoming clearer and clearer. Recent things that happened at Milo Gate surrounding journalist Milo Yiannopoulos. Basically a complete hit piece, but wading into some very murky waters. So basically the show is touching on the media, media coverage, media ethics, and some thoughts you won't hear anywhere else. I've watched a lot of YouTube commentary, but nobody's actually gone and spelt out the journalistic ethics code, which we'll look into now. The four main pillars are seek truth and report it. Journalists should take responsibility for the accuracy of their work, verify information before releasing it, and use original sources wherever possible. So you're just not repeating a lie, somebody, or misinformation. There is also minimize harm. If you're covering things, show compassion for the people that you're covering, which unfortunately, with a modern partisan, and by that I mean political partisan, coverage by journalists, pretty much they are trying to do harm to the other side. There's also act independently. Journalists should avoid conflicts of interest, real or perceived. Disclose unavoidable conflicts. As we're about to look at the Milo Gate incident, there was, and with Gamergate and a whole lot of things like that, there's been a lot of media coordination. Now, you think different companies competing, you know, they wouldn't be in contact with each other, but no, they have industry contacts, they're trying to set the narrative. And I think people are waking up to that. And the fourth, just to get there, be accountable and transparent. Basically, you should use the ethics that you'd want used against you. A lot of people have been making the statement, if the left didn't have double standards, they wouldn't have standards at all. Just basically treat others how you would like to be treated yourself. I mean, if you want to read up more on the topic, you can go to the Society for Professional Journalists, and they've got their code of ethics on there, and there's a lot more detailed. That's just a basic rundown. But we're continuously seeing these standards be breached. A good example, of course, is the recent Milo Gate incident. For those who are unaware, you have Milo Yiannopoulos, who we've covered previously on the show, a few weeks ago, we looked at the Berkeley riots, which were pretty much designed to try to get them to stop speaking at the University of California Berkeley campus, where a number of people were assaulted and hospitalized by Antifa activists. That helped catapult Milo Moore into the public spotlight in the US, and he was beginning to cross over into the mainstream and was on Real Time Bill Maher, and was put down to be the keynote speaker of CPAC, which is the biggest conservative conference in the US. I can't remember what it stands for. But just before then, and designed to attack him, there were clips that had been in the public domain for well over a year, where he seemed, it was put in the press that it seemed like he was defending pedophilia. A big bit surrounding that, to add context, was when he was 14, he was abused by a Catholic priest and one other man. We don't know much about the other man. We just know the priest as Father Michael. Now, Yiannopoulos was trying to normalize or make seem like normal what happened to him. He admits it was abuse. And a lot of it, his comments, are very much somebody who went through a traumatic experience as a young boy and is trying to cope with it. But instead of being treated as a victim of sex abuse, the media try to hang him as somebody supporting pedophilia, where in his career he has gone after pedophiles and exposed them in his writings, and as a victim of abuse. Not likely somebody who would be very supportive. He did say he regrets some of the ways he put it. And of course, what he was talking about wasn't pedophilia, it's urophilia. Pedophilia is being attracted to prepubescent minors, where urophilia is being attracted to teenagers who have gone through puberty and are physically, sexually mature, but not mentally or emotionally. And we have that period between the physical and mental and emotional, because it can cause a whole raft of things psychologically, such as depression, etc. Or if you're a girl who gets pregnant anywhere between the ages of 11 and 14, I think you can suffer from things like fistula, where pretty much, since you're not fully physically developed, a baby, if you have a child, can rupture organs, usually the bladder, which in third world problems, in third world countries, causes a lot of women who, of course, were married off as children, great physical and social problems. And, of course, in these videos, when Nopis is talking, well, the ones that were circulated when he was saying the age of consent was right, therefore he wasn't advocating for sex with minors, was left out, surprisingly. Although, where even his supporters find it a bit difficult, is he was on the Joe Rogan podcast, and he was talking about some Hollywood parties where you had very young boys at these parties who were doing drugs and having unprotected sex with much older men. And he said very young boys, and a whole lot of people like, well, why isn't he naming names and trying to out people? I think Sargon of Card had a good comment about that, because he said it happened 8 years before, and it was a year ago, so almost a decade ago, I saw some stuff. You don't have evidence besides your testimony. You probably don't know who these people's names are. But of course, one of the people he didn't name and could was the mysterious Father Michael. People just don't like the idea of sex offenders out there, and that's where it gets very messy. And the whole thing is messy, but for the media to try to jack it up like he's supporting pedophilia, pretty much there are two things, and I'm just about to get into how basically the media has defended sex offenders in the Catholic Church, meaning they defended them. Two things socially: being called a Nazi or a pedophile. I mean, those are the worst things you can be called. Right up there is, like being a murderer or rapist, but in the very top levels, being a Nazi or being a pedophile. Now, as sort of covered with the Homilo situation in the Drunken Peasant podcast, he makes the distinction between pedophilia and urophilia. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And a lot of people don't like that distinction. They just like, a sex of minors is pedophilia. Well, that's not the case, because there is a very big distinction between what stages of physical maturity. Like if it's prepubescent, that they're not even sexually mature. That is why pedophilia is considered a clinical disorder, where urophilia is not, but is illegal, as it is damaging to a young person. Although it was a historic hangover, in a lot of countries, like the age of consent in Mexico is 12, because puberty for girls usually happens around the age of 11. In places like Germany, it's 14. In Greece, it's 15. That's kind of a hangover from centuries past, especially where, you used to marry off girls quite young, especially so other families would be the ones supporting them. But that's another story. But one of the big things with the Milo Gate is there was a message just before the articles came out from somebody claiming to be a journalist, saying that he was on an emailing list for journalists, and there was a planned takedown on Yiannopoulos trying to push the pedophilia angle, and that message was posted on the board, and as covered, was before the articles came out. And that's what the story was. Despite, as covered, had been a victim of abuse, and he had gone after pedophiles before. I watched one of his videos he did on YouTube, exposing one. It went for about an hour and a half, and it was quite in depth. No way in hell was he pushing pedophilia or any underage sexual activity. And what has the right crying foul over this is the complete media double standards. For example, Star Trek actor George Takei has gone around on the past saying, talking about his sexual activity he had when he was a boy with a 19-year-old camp counselor, and was saying about how what a great experience it was. This is pretty much what Yiannopoulos, his same experience, but of course Takei's on the left, so the media aren't trying to bring him down, although I fully recognise that George Takei suffered abuse and have sympathy for that. One of the things that sparked the hit piece on Yiannopoulos was appearing on Bill Maher's show, Real Time, and because of that, people went searching, and there was a video that emerged of Bill Maher defending a 34-year-old woman who was having an affair with a 13-year-old boy and had two kids, and was saying about how they were in love, and it wasn't conventional, but, you know, it was a relationship. You've got people on the left like Lena Dunham, who in her autobiography talks about and jokes about how she sexually molested her sister when she was younger in an actual pedophilia situation. What happened to Lena Dunham? She helped spearhead Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign. I mean, what the hell? And you've also got leftist celebrities like Roman Polanski, who anally raped a 14-year-old girl. The trauma caused her to have a asthma attack, and she was grabbing for an inhaler, worried she was going to suffocate to death, and he just kept raping her. No, you know, it's discreet, you know, just completely disgusting stuff. And, you know, he's, nobody on the, in the media holds it against him. He's still a famous director. A number of Hollywood celebrities have openly supported him recently. You know, it's just, those are two examples of people that actually did something, who actually sexually abused minors, and they got a free pass, where basically Milo Yiannopoulos, probably not in the way, well, exactly in the way George Takei trying to make sense of their abuse, you know, and, you know, they talk about it like it's not abuse, but, you know, that's, well, these things are quite messy. But it's the sheer media double standards where, you know, both Milo and George Takei, not the ways to put things, but they're not advocating for it. It gets messy. Sort of, for example, women who are raped sometimes become very promiscuous after that because they're trying to regain agency. Like in the porn industry, you know, it's one of those huge things where a lot of the actresses have been abused or raped. For example, what's her name? Jenna Jameson, who I know the name, I haven't seen her perform, who was like the world's largest female porn star for a number of years, etc., denied throughout her whole career of being raped. And afterwards, when she retired, she's like, yeah, I was actually raped as a teenager. There's a website called Fight the New Drug. And it's basically against the porn industry. But it has a number of testimonies from ex-porn stars who are speaking out because they're abused. That's how they got in. They know a number of other porn actors that were abused, and that's why they're there. And it's just a tragic, tragic industry. And it's just, unfortunately, around sexual abuse, things just get very messy. And it's just not the double standards. It was, they were purposely trying to do harm, you know. And he ended up, he was an editor at Breitbart. He resigned from that. He lost his speaking thing at CPAC, and he lost his book deal. That won't be the last of Milo Yiannopoulos, I would say. But, yeah, I mean, this did him damage. And all people can say is, it seems like he was supporting it, where all evidence to the contrary would say otherwise. But I do know people who are sitting on some pretty big and scandalous things. And you do lose some respect for them for that. But make no mistake, a lot of people in the media are sitting on some quite damaging things, and they're staying very quiet. Okay, a little while ago on this, I basically mentioned how the media covers up for sexual abuse in the Catholic Church, as we're talking about, well, the Unopolis's, primary abuser, shall we say, was the mysterious Father Michael. We don't know much besides name. It might have been a complete pseudonym. But you think, hasn't the media done a lot of coverage about sexual abuse in the Catholic Church? Well, yes, but it's also been complete lies. For example, during the early 80s and 90s, a whole lot of sex abuse cases of historic nature came out within the Catholic Church, spearheaded in the US, but also around the world. It prompted people to speak out, but the same media covered it. Now, the problem is it was termed pedophilia and the pedophile crisis, where the statistics do not bear that up. For example, the John Day report, which is pretty much the report par excellence in about sexual abuse in the U.S. Catholic Church, basically, under 20% of all those cases were pedophilia. The rest, over 80%, the victims were, it was urophilia, teenage boys that were basically being groomed, molested, or raped by gay priests. People keep saying, oh, a Catholic priest, you know, in general, or a pedophile priest. No, no, specifically gay men. And once you try to bring this out, it becomes, oh, well, there are victims of all ages and both genders. About four-fifths of the cases, was it dubbed the gay abuse scandal? No, because the leftist media wanted to basically try to take out the Catholic Church was one of its rivals. And as I said before, you know, two biggest thing, worst things you could be labelled in society is rather a Nazi or a pedophile. This is pretty much the biggest historic incident of fake news or fraud, pretty much. Because this is around the time where the media was trying to normalise homosexuality. And currently, they have been trying to, in the leftist media, there was a big push to try to normalize pedophilia. Organizations like Salon and Vox.com, they run articles in defense of pedophiles, talking about virtuous pedophiles who never offended, and even when they were trying to make them seem good, just the stories would disgust you. And of course, they attacked Milo Yiannopoulos, but before they did so, they took all those articles off. Just the hypocrisy of it. But there are basically mafias of gay priests in the Catholic Church. They have been responsible for a number of sex abuse and sex harassment cases, but since the media termed it pedophilia, they got a pass. And, you know, you see things like in the Western world with the push for gay marriage, you know, if the Catholic Church put opposition, it was, oh, well, you know, what moral authority do you have? You know, a number of priests molested children. It doesn't have the same weight to say gay men should be able to get married and the Catholic Church shouldn't have an opinion with it because gay priests offended against teenage boys. It doesn't have the same ring to it, does it? And I've personally talked to the heads of a lot of organizations in New Zealand about sexual abuse in the Catholic Church and asked did they really know of any cases in the last 3 to 4 decades? And pretty much the answer was no. No new ones. They're pretty much historic. Of course, this is a lot of this focuses on minors and not men above consenting age. But I'm getting sidetracked here. Why didn't the media report the truth in that case? Why didn't the media, about Malianopoulos, talk about his work to expose pedophiles rather than just give lip service to, oh, he was abused as a child? Because they're trying to push an agenda. Now, when I'm talked about in the beginning of the show about, you know, the media showing sociopathic tendencies, there have been a number of cases where we've got to see behind the veil. Now, if you remember from, was it the 2008 financial collapse, the Enron scandal, a whole lot of things came out from that, including voice recording. Enron, which was an energy company, manufactured an energy crisis in California to boost its profits. And you have them coordinating with power plants to shut down to artificially jack up the price of power. And you had people coordinating on the phones, making jokes about the suffering of people. Old granny can't afford to run over, you know, the fridge anymore, whatever. You know, just horrible, horrible stuff. Out of Wall Street, I was made aware of this by Max Kaiser from RT, at their Christmas parties for some of these Wall Street banks during the financial mortgage collapse. You know, part of their Christmas thing was they had tents up, their tent town, and you know, employees were pretending to be people that had been evicted, mocking the people of the life they destroyed. I mean, that's truly sick stuff. And recently with the American election, with Project Veritas and some of the political activists organizing violence, and recently with the deplorable, which was the Trump celebration thing, wanting to acid attack in the vents. You know, what is wrong with these people? But make no mistake, there are people like that in the media who are narcissists, who like to be the center of attention, who are quite happy to destroy people's lives. The general mainstream media leans to the left. We covered this on the show before, about during the Cold War, with McCarthyism. The communist infiltration on all levels of American society was far higher than anyone knew. Now, McCarthyism has this whole thing of witch hunts and seeing what's not there, where the problem from leaked Soviet files after the Cold War show just extensive infiltration, and especially of the media. The show we did on Cuba, Fidel Castro dying, you know, how a lot of the media blatantly lied to help get him in power and get American support for him and to destroy it for Baptista. And most of these journalists are communists themselves. Right now, society is becoming quite partisan, where before we had different views on the same things. It seems a lot of people aren't even on the same planet, and it's getting disturbing, and we're going to see problems as the alternate media, especially online, is far outperforming the mainstream media, traditional TV and newspapers, and they're going to desperately try to hold on to power and destroy their rivals, and things are going to get a lot more nasty. We are actually talking about billions of dollars in industry at stake. There was a war between the mainstream media and the alternate media coming. We have to make sure that truth does not become a casualty of it. Seek and speak the truth.